Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening. You are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. I am your host, Karen Demers, and today is July 30th, 2015. The title of today's show is Random Thought Thursday again. That may change when I put it in the archives, because who knows where we'll go with this, but a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in my town. I happen to be from Cincinnati, Ohio. I live near there, and something happened recently on one of our local college campuses. A police officer, who is white, shot a person after a routine traffic stop, and the person was African-American, or black, however you want to say it. And the police officers from the University of Cincinnati wear a body camera. Now, I've not seen the footage. I cannot bring myself to watch it. But from those who have, that the police officer committed murder. And that's a tough thing for me. You see, when I sent my oldest child off, when I was getting ready to send him to high school, 3 weeks before he started school, two recent graduates of his high school committed suicide. At the time, teenage suicide was a pretty big topic of conversation. It seemed to be rampant. It seemed to be everywhere. And to have two, not one, but two, from the same school within the same week kill themselves was a pretty frightening thing as a mom. And we came to find out there was much more to the backstory than what was going on. Both of these kids had some serious problems along the way to the point where they took their own lives. Because they'd only been adults a year, a lot of that information was never shared. And I guess that was the first time I really found out that what the media portrays and what the real circumstances are don't always match. They vilified the resource officer at the high school, who I have now known for 8 years. And he was nothing like they portrayed him to be. The way that the kids were portrayed, there was so much left out. And it wasn't as black and white. It wasn't as sensational as the media made it out to be. It was one group following the law, and the law wasn't victim-friendly at the time. And grieving parents who were trying to make sense of everything. And, you know, it makes me think about this whole idea, the expression that you should be kind because you have no idea the battle that others might be fighting. And I do try to live my life that way. I'm not always that way. We all have a bad day. We all get cranky. We all do stupid stuff. But, you know, sometimes the world seems to be in so much turmoil that the small amount of kindness that I put into it seems to drown out a sea of negativity. Drown in, not drown out. That was Freudian, wasn't it? I want it to drown it out. And this situation that you see, it, I've always said that I raised my children to love everyone. And to be kind to everyone. And again, you know, they're teenage boys. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Generally, when they're unkind, it's to each other. Occasionally to their mother, which I'm not too fond of. But, you know, I'm sending my son off to this university that has a significant minority population, which is not a problem for him. Because he's been raised in a community, many colors, many religions. But I've always said it's hard for me to understand how Black people can feel, because I haven't experienced it. And for the first time, I have a taste of the fear, because I know that because of what happened on my son's campus, that the day he walks onto that campus, there will be people who hate him solely because of the color of his skin. And you know what? He can't hide that. And what he really can't hide is the fact that he's 6'4". So he doesn't blend in. He stands out. The thing I hope I've taught him, and I think the thing I hope most that he can share when he steps on that campus, is what he's learned growing up, the acceptance that he's learned growing up, that we're not all the same, but we all deserve respect. Because that's the best lesson we've learned. I'm tired of people saying we're all the same. We're not all the same. We haven't experienced the same things. But it's precisely those things that we can teach one another. How we can share our unique stories and make the world a better place. You know, this particular son of mine is... he's been embroiled in a couple of kind of, you know, some kids there's a lot of drama, some kids there's no drama, especially with boys there's usually very little drama. And he's been involved in two situations in high school where there was some drama. And both times I am shocked at how he stood in his truth and spoke the truth when he felt that people he cared about, very much cared about, were saying and doing the wrong things. And at one point, there was a situation where his girlfriend was on one side of an argument and his best friend was on the other side of an argument. And he stood in the middle and told them they were both wrong. And, you know, at that age, I'm not sure I would have had that courage. And I admire him so much for that. Now, the one thing he does do, which scares me just a little bit, is he doesn't always soften that truth. Pretty harsh with it some days. And it's something that, you know, I'll be telling him at least for the next 2 weeks until he goes off to college. I continue to stand in that truth, but maybe soften it up just a little bit. And understanding how other mothers feel when they send their children off it's a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time, because none of us should ever feel like this. And I truly am making it my life's work to build bridges between people, to help people feel good about themselves. And it's what I live for. It truly is. I want people to find their highest calling. I want them all to have the best outcome for their lives. And it is truly, truly what I stand for right now. And it feels overwhelming sometimes. It really does. But, you know, I have a group of friends. We've been friends for a long time. And all three women have a child the same age as my oldest child. They're all still friendly, but they're not all still close friends. The boys aren't. We're all still friends, but, you know, with lives that go in different directions, we don't get to see each other much. And one of our friends is a woman of color, and I desperately want to hug her and tell her how much I care about her. So we're getting together as friends, and I would suggest that for everyone to, you know, we see these situations in the news, and number one, I beg of you to understand that the job of the news is to get ratings. The job of the news is not to always tell the full story. I learned that a long time ago. It's why I don't watch the news anymore, because there is no such thing as unbiased news. I don't care what anybody just the word choice alone makes it biased. So it's very interesting, you know, people who watch Fox don't watch CNN. People who watch CNN don't watch Fox. And if you watch both, you would hardly believe they actually even report on the same news, because they can have the same story and have a totally different spin. It's a really strange thing to watch. But, you know, and I come from that background. I come from a journalistic advertising background. And if you don't think there's a lot of advertising in journalism, well, you know, I'm here to tell you otherwise. It's the same thing with scientific studies. Boy, we are just really kind of bouncing around, aren't we? It's the same thing with scientific studies. I was discussing this with my kids the other day, and of all things, I don't know if any of you have ever watched the show Mythbusters, but again, I live in a household of males. I watch things a lot of women have never watched. And Mythbusters, what they do is they'll pick something. It could be a movie scene. It could be something from a TV show. It could be an urban legend or a myriad of other things. And they try to prove or they just try to recreate the situation to see if it could have really happened. And one of the hosts of that show was talking about scientific studies. And oh, goodness. Troll. For the first time, I have had a troll on here. So, let's see. Excuse me. I'm sorry I have to do this. But, okay. Sorry. We had a troll that did something really rude in the chat room, so I kicked them out. Anyway, sorry about that. But he was talking about sponsored scientific studies, independent scientific studies, and how different the results tend to be, where a sponsored scientific study tends to find in favor of the person that sponsored them. Imagine that. I'm being asked what happened. It was a private message, and it was beyond rude. It was disgusting. So anyway, we're not going to let that person back in here. So anyway, but it's just about being aware, and that excites me that my kids actually know that they saw that and they're learning that and they're questioning things. And I think it needs to happen over and over and over again. And I think what that does is it helps us look at both sides of the question and exactly, as Julie says, it's time to say no more. This is not okay. It's not okay that it's happening. It's not okay that sometimes when it happens, the reaction is more violent than the initial incident. And I think most people are beyond that. One of the things I've learned, and this is again, whether you never get this from the media. Recently, one of my sons and my husband took what's called an underground tour of our city, and it talks about the past and things people don't know about, and you learn a lot. And the particular part of town they were in was the original, it's kind of like the original suburbs of our downtown. It's only about a mile or so from the river, which is where the city was founded. And it's where the people lived outside, first communities outside the city, so to speak. And it fell into incredible disrepair for a while, became a very frightening neighborhood, somewhere I wouldn't drive when I was in my late teens. And in my early 20s, little pubs and bars started to pop up in that area. And of course, that was the edge place to go. So of course, that's where we went. It wasn't the popular place, it was the edgy place. So my friends and I, we were there. But anyway, it is now a thriving area. And they do this tour, and it was a neighborhood that we had a police officer shoot a young man who was running away from him. And we had, from what I remember, the very first riot over something like that happening. And the two people who were giving the tour were addressing that. And what we found out was, you know, we watch this and we think, how can people tear up their own neighborhoods? How can they do this? What we found out was they weren't. They were locked inside their homes, terrified, because some hate group brought in people to riot and to loot and to destroy the neighborhood. It was not people who lived there. And the other thing I didn't know was it was a much more racially diverse neighborhood than I ever knew it was. And the neighbors supported each other and they took care of each other. And when they couldn't go outside of their buildings, they fed each other. And it was just, you find out there was so much more going on than we knew. And it wasn't anything like it was portrayed to be. And, you know, I absolutely give so much credit to parents of these kids who beg people to be peaceful. And, you know, see, the worst was Ferguson, Missouri. And then something similar happened in Baltimore, and the parents said, please, don't do this. And the media finally reported that while there was looting going on one block, two blocks away, twice as many people were peacefully assembling. Then we had Charleston. And the entire community came together and said, this is not acceptable. And I hope and pray that's what's going to happen in my city as well. And I'm doing my part right now by saying, if you do not have friends of color, reach out to somebody. And what you'll find out is we are more alike than different, but we are different. And your experience is very different. If you're a person of color, you can reach out as well. I know it's a little more frightening. I really, truly do. but it's an amazing thing too when you can be that person who is the bridge builder, instead of someone just standing on the shore watching. Because while I know it's not a uniquely American thing, it's being portrayed as that. And I can tell you for a fact that racism exists everywhere. And if you don't think it does, you need to learn more. You really do. There's a reason that whether it's, you know, call it racism, it can be, it's hatred. That's what it is. Sometimes it's about religion. Sometimes it's about the color of someone's skin. In Africa, it's been about whether you're from one tribe or the other. Now, and I'm wondering, how do you tell each other apart when you do that? You know, you've lived together for hundreds of years, and suddenly they're your enemy. And it's just amazing to me. And we can change. And I know that. I know that we can, because I live where they do. I live where Jews and Muslims can work alongside each other and be peaceful. And blacks and whites and Asians and Indians, and we have it all. And it can happen. It can work. It can learn. We can still be different. And we can still be respectful. And we need to be. One of the things that I like to remind people, if they're not from the United States, is that our country, particularly my friends from Europe, our country is bigger than your continent. And you all certainly don't agree on everything. So we're not going to agree on everything. And I understand that. You know, I have friends who are staunch gun advocates. I have friends who are staunch gun control advocates. I have friends who are against the LGBT community. I have friends who are members of the LGBT community. It's an amazing thing to watch. But you know what? The one thing I do know about them all is they're all decent human beings. They have different views. They don't always express them in a beautiful way. And that's what we have to stop doing with each other, is if I don't agree with you, then somehow you're less of a person, or I'm less of a person, or we can't be friends anymore. You know, the other day, I have a friend that we've been very, very close friends since we were 12 years old. That is a long time, because I am, what am I? I have to actually look. Isn't that ridiculous? I'm 52 years old. We have been friends for 40 years. We've been through it all. I'll tell you what, we have. There's only one thing we haven't been through, and I pray we never go through that, and that's the loss of a child, either one of us. And but we've been through divorces. We've been through parental illness. We've been through, just so much stuff. And we're not alike in a lot of ways. You know, I've been a stay-at-home mom since the day I had children, 21 plus years ago. She has worked from the day she's had children 25 some years ago, I think it's 25 now. Isn't that ridiculous? I can't even remember. We've led very different lives. But, you know, the one thing, we've learned to appreciate each other. And we still get together for lunch, and we try to do it about once a month, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, because she travels a lot for work, and the other day we were supposed to have lunch, and yesterday, as a matter of fact, we were supposed to have lunch, and she sent me a text and said, could I possibly reschedule, and I'm sorry, but I can't have lunch until, like, the 20th of next month. And I was like, no, you can't cancel. You absolutely have to have lunch with me today or we can never be friends again. Which I put a big LOL after, of course, and, you know, we laughed about it. And, well, that's such a little example. It really is where we need to get to, you know, where we can be forgiving and we can be kind and we can try to understand people instead of getting insulted, because oh my goodness, we are so, and it's unfortunate, and I'm not sure about other countries because I don't see it that much, but you know, we have become so good in America at being insulted by what other people do. And you know, I remember a motivational speaker one time who said, you know, nobody ever got up and said, so how can I tick off Susie today? Now, there could be exceptions to that. There may be somebody out there that really wants to just get under your skin today. And you know what? God bless that person, because, boy, they must have an awful life if that's the thing they're going to focus on. But you can do something else. You know, my mantra right now, and I actually wrote it down so I look at it every day, is to follow my highest calling and the best outcome of the day. So, bless and release. In the chat room, somebody said, I actually do know someone like that. Oh, that's unfortunate, isn't it? So, somebody who likes to stir the pot. And you know what? I know a couple of those myself. And when they're in their pot-stirring mood, I am in my mood to step back and walk away. It's interesting to see how some people react to that. And I have a couple family members like that, and they own it. And that's the thing. They do own it. They like to stir the pot. And I will say to them, you're just stirring the pot. And they'll just laugh. You know, but that's their way of dealing with it. Generally, they don't do it to be mean. And when they're not doing it to be mean, I can deal with it. And you know what? I just got my 90-second notification. Time for me to start wrapping up. Really quickly, Mondays, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, time on my hands with my friend Jules. All things gardening, herbal, and often cooking as well. No show today for Grandma's Garden. She's still feeling ill. She's, God love her, she's been sick for a while. She's hoping to have a show next week. And join us on our Facebook page, Better Living Daily. And I'm hoping pretty soon to have a newsletter available. So we'll see. I love you guys. I really do. I thank you for letting me be here and be a part of your day and your week. And until we meet again, have a wonderful time. Bless you all. Bye-bye.